And I'm happy to have on the phone the executive director of Roar on the Shore, Ralph Pontillo. How you doing, Ralph?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm excellent. I'm pleased that we're able to get together here today and kind of get a recap of Roar on the Shore. New place, kind of new energy. Tell us your kind of overall take on how this annual event went this year.
Well, it's been a fascinating year, and it's year 13, which is always a kind of an omen for me. First, we had to make a move within 10 weeks. That was a huge challenge. Then we discovered that Route 86 is going to be virtually shut down to motorcycles because of grading and repairs to the highway. The weather was in the 90s the whole time. And we had multiple thunderstorms around us and on us throughout the 4 days. There was a wind gust on Saturday that blew over some of the vendor tents. And then we had a brand new parade route. So, I mean, everything was virtually up there in the air, and we had no idea how people were going to react or if they were going to come. What I'm pleased to tell you is that we had another record-breaking year, which is very, very exciting for us. And it validates the fact that Roar on the Shore is more than a city location. It's more than a venue. It's more than a person running it. This is about the community. This is about the biker community. It's about being part of something that matters and contributing to a charity. So all those things came true despite every kind of roadblock that was put in front of us.
Like when we talked a couple months ago, I mean, this thing is so impeccably planned. And to have that big, you know, curveball come at you, it shows how incredible of a leader that you are to kind of to pull it off into this degree. I mean, can you put some metrics behind it? You were quoted in the paper saying that, for example, for the rides, the registrations have never been higher. Talk about some of the metrics involved here.
Right. Just one correction I want to make. It's not me. It's a staff. There's an incredible group of people that do this work. They know what they're doing. They've been with me for all 13 years. They're exceptional professionals. They work together beautifully. It's a fine-tuned machine. They know what they're doing. So I really appreciate the compliment, but this is all about a team effort. This is about our group of wonderful volunteers and staff that I think do a remarkable job. In terms of the metrics, one of the things that we look at is pre-registrations. As I told you in the last interview, the concert registrations were up for pre-registration and the ride registrations were up. All of those ultimately came true for us in terms of the size of the crowd. Now, we were hurt a little bit on Wednesday, and we were hurt again on Friday, and I point back to the weather and those issues. And so, you know, there's always factors out there that you have to weigh in on. And the fact is that even with the 90-degree temperatures, even with the thunderstorm, we had a very good turnout for our concerts. The rides were all well participated in, and we broke, I think, two records on two of the rides. So that was very gratifying. We also added an additional ride, an eighth ride this year, and we did it at the last minute. And it was a Roar to the Peak. We went to the Peak and Peak. And they drew some 300 or 400 bikes to a brand new ride that no one has been on to before. So that was exciting. And that tells me there's lots of opportunity in the future to take rides out into that, you know, New York, Chautauqua area, and then in the Northeast area. So very exciting there. And then we broke an attendance record on Saturday. It was so gratifying to see the number of bikes that came in. Both parking lots, the back parking lot, which is 11 acres, was full between cars and motorcycles. And then we literally had to redirect bike traffic to the track as our backup parking. And sure enough, we ended up filling up that space as well. So overall, just a remarkable event that hit the numbers where we needed to hit in order to make sure that we have something viable for next year going forward.
So you're feeling good about as far as financially being able to contribute a sizable check to the charity. I know the NAMI people were so excited that you chose them, and and be able to have the wherewithal, you know, to kind of do your deposits for next year.
Right. It's the only reason why we exist. And right now, I can tell you that on a preliminary basis, yes, the numbers are working. But right now, there are a group of people in a room that are going through all the receipts, that are going through all the audit checks, everything that we go through, and we are audited upward, downward, sideways, like you can't believe, to ensure that every dollar that comes in is accounted for, and every dollar going out is accounted for, and then what's left goes to the charity, and that's very important. So I don't have the exact numbers or the exact totals right now. I do know that my gut feeling tells me we did good this year. I'm confident that we'll make a nice contribution, and that's very encouraging for future growth.
There was some reporting on Saturday by the paper that you didn't seem to be too thrilled with. Talk about some of the comments from the vendors that were coming in, at least as reported by the newspaper, that they were feeling like it wasn't nearly as busy as last year.
It's an interesting comment. Let me explain it to you. In years past, we were in downtown Erie, and we had room for about 60, 65 vendors. So you're one of 65. Now you move to the Speedway, there's 110 vendors. So downtown, for example, you were the only leather distributor. You were selling leathers and boots and that type of thing. Now you go to the Speedway, you're up against four vendors that sell the same thing.
Yeah.
So your sales are going to be cut, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what they were doing is they were now in competition with other vendors. So what you're going to get is a mixed bag and a mixed review. You're going to say, one vendor is going to say, I did really, really bad. Well, if you charge downtown prices, you're going to do real bad. If you charged our prices up at the Speedway, you did really well because of the competition. And you know that competition drives prices down.
Correct.
So the vendors can't gouge, and that's the idea. No gouging at our event. And so now we're able to expand that, to allow for more vendors doing the same thing, selling the same thing. And that keeps everybody honest. It keeps them in check. I think that's a good thing. Do the vendors like it? No. But so what? I'm not running this for vendors. I'm running it for the people that are coming in. And good vendors understand that concept. They appreciate that concept, and they'll adjust accordingly. So will we lose some vendors next year? I'm certain we will. We lose them every year.
Sure.
But we also gain more than we lose each year. And that's really the indicator, isn't it? And you know, he said that one guy, I read a comment, he said the crowds were half of what they were last year. No, they weren't. They were larger than they were last year. The crowd was in a bigger venue, and the crowd had more vendors to go to. Once you buy your vest, doesn't mean you're going to keep looking for a vest. So he's not going to get that traffic. So the traffic was there. I had vendors telling me that it was the best year in their careers at Rona Shore. So it's always a mixed bag. You never know what's going to happen. Vendors are very interesting to listen to. You talk to one vendor one day, he's telling you how great it is. You go to the vendor right next to him, and he's telling you how bad it is. And you just kind of shake your head, and you say, well, which is it? And the answer is it's probably true for both. One's having a bad a show, the other one's having a good show, meaning that whatever products they're selling aren't selling. But that's not my issue. That's their issue.
I have to ask you, again, this is me as an Erie guy, wondering if there would ever be a chance for the people to come together to try to bring this back to the city of Erie. We want to make sure that it doesn't leave the region. That's for sure, because it's an economic driver that is unquestioned, right? You know, but for me, as you know, I have a pretty big heart. You know, I would love to see people of good cheer and goodwill come together and figure out a way for the city and Roar to be partners in economic development and helping a charity and bringing the community together. What do you think?
Well, I think it's a great idea, and I'll tell you why I think it's a great idea, because it exists for 13 years.
Right.
For 12 years, we had a full partnership with the city. We had a city that supported Rona Shore, wanted Rona Shore, recognized the value of Rona Shore, and they were with us 100%. So now that's 12 years. Never heard a word for 12 years from the media, from any other group. No one, nothing. All good. Raving reviews from the press. They talked about Roar as a great economic development. Everything was great. And all of a sudden, what's the one variable, the one factor that changed? What was it?
It was new leadership at City Hall. Yep.
So where's your problem?
Yeah, but understanding
wait,
what
no, no, wait.
The true cost here.
Where's
yeah.
your problem?
Right.
Listen, the true cost, that's what the city is claiming is pure nonsense. Yeah. And if anyone would like to sit down with me, and I'll go through every single line item the city charged us, every single line item, and I will tell you that it's massively inflated. And I would say 70% of what they're charging us for, they never did. So this bill that I'm sitting in front of, this $70,000, which, by the way, turns into $140,000 next year, is complete bogus. And what I'm telling you is anybody who wants to sit down, put a camera in front of my face, go through each line item, each number, I guarantee you this thing is inflated significantly. The taxpayers were not footing a $70,000 bill, and they were not footing a $140,000 bill. So let's start with that. You can't have an honest discussion unless you have honest information.
Right.
And what I'm saying is I've looked at this bill upwards and downwards, backwards, sideways, any way you can look at it. There are charges in here. I have charges for security police on Monday and Tuesday. Do you remember Rona Short being there on
right.
Monday and Tuesday?
Right.
So where's the what's the problem here?
And I challenged. Yeah. I challenged the mayor on the whole idea of the pension costs and things. I'm like, you're going to have pension costs, you know, no matter what, if they're sitting in on, you know, on the east side, west side, or downtown. You know, I mean, that's not a fair.
Let me give you another example. Yeah. You have a coordinator of city events, full time position, right? They charged me for the city coordinator $2,500, and I said, I don't understand. The city coordinator's job is to coordinate special events in the city. Why would I pay him? He's already being paid by the taxpayers. And if I'm not there, he's being paid by the taxpayers.
Right.
At least while I'm there, he's earning his check, right? So why would I pay the $2,500 for a person that's already on the payroll? And so it's been a little frustrating. You know, people keep saying, you got to work it out. How do I work that out? How do I work out the fact that the city is putting charges in here that simply don't exist? They claim that they set up our stage. The city has never, in 13 years, ever set a stage for Rona Short. I hired Grisey Production Company, and I hired an out-of-town stage company to put up the lights, the sound, and all. The city never did any of that. We never asked for fencing from the city. We never asked for any setups. And then they gave me a $3,000 bill for cleanup. The city has never cleaned up Rona Short. Rona Short cleans itself up. I have bills from waste management. I've got bills from Green Gears that pick up the garbage for us. And I have the social service agencies helping us pick up the garbage all day and all night. There was no garbage to pick up. We picked up the garbage. We took care of the garbage, and we disposed of it. So there are charges in here that the city never incurred. And so you say, well, why would you charge me $3,000 for something you're not doing? Well, that's the charge.
Right.
Then the city has contracts. So if a guy works for 1 hour, guess what the minimum pay is? 4 hours.
Right. I went through that, too.
So if the guy works 1 hour, I have to pay 4 hours worth of labor.
Yeah.
So please, you know, that's not my issue. That's their issue. And that person gets paid no matter whether I'm there or not. So, you know, in the end, I would love to have an honest, reasonable discussion. I would love to talk to people about what we can do. Sure, you want to move it back in the city? Let's do that. But you have to have a partnership. You have to have a city that embraces the concept. My guess is this administration does not embrace Rona Short. If it did, we would have been able to sit down. We agreed to pay $45,000.
Right.
And then to add the $20,000 she lost on the vendors, they paid $200 per vendor to the city for a permit for nothing, thin air.
Yeah.
And that's 110 vendors. And where I went to school, that's $20,000.
You're right.
So plus. So my point is that's $20,000 plus the 45, that's 65.
There was a net loss to the city through the moving of Roar. There's no doubt about it.
There's a huge loss. And then what do they replace us with? They go to Gears and Grubs, and they replace us with food trucks. And then they put that local word in there. They kept using local vendors, local this. I had 50 local vendors. The people that came to my event, 70% of them are local people. So what are they talking about? And as far as the downtown restaurants and bars, I'm sure they were thrilled to have food being brought in by their restaurants that were paying a fraction of the cost to deliver food to customers. So instead of it being an economic plus to all the businesses downtown, Gears and Grubs was an economic drain. Why does that make sense? Why do people think that's a good idea? Just to make a fine point on this whole discussion, this is about a charity. If that mission is altered in any way, shape, or form, then I can tell you emphatically we're out.
Okay. Yes. It's
the only reason why we do it.
Right.
There is no other reason. So, you know, we're not going to feed the city $70,000 or $140,000 based on what I believe to be inflated cost here, and then take that money away from the charity. It's not going to happen. We already contribute significantly by way of economic development, by way of bringing tourism to our community. Can you imagine the mindset that suggests that having Roar and Shore move out of the city is a far better economic move than moving or keeping it in the city? And why did it work for 12 years?
Right.
Why? Why was there were no questions, no problems? We paid our the city submitted a bill and we paid it. We paid it. All of a sudden, now the city increases the bill by 700%. If you're in a living in an apartment building, and a new owner takes over the apartment building and announces to you that you have a 700% increase for your rent next year, what do you think you're going to do?
Right. Yeah. You have
you're
to
gonna
move.
You're going to move.
Yeah. You have to move.
And let me ask you this question: what do you think the landlord thought?
Yeah. Yeah.
He thought you were going to move too.
Exactly. That's for sure.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's
have an honest discussion. Let's have a reasonable discussion. But I know people want they want it back in downtown. We didn't leave downtown. Downtown left us. And people need to understand that. And if you want to bear pressure on somebody, talk to them. They're the ones that did it.
Right.
I didn't make a decision.
Right.
My board didn't make a decision. We simply looked at the numbers and said, listen, we cannot in any way, shape, or form fulfill our mission. If this were a cancer awareness event or a pink ribbon event where we were raising funds for cancer victims, right, do you think the same discussion would be going on?
Right.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
But it's a biker event. It's a biker event. That's how they see it. It's not a charity. It's a biker event. And I think there's some bias there because I see other events going on downtown that look very supportive to me. And where's the questions on if in fact Gears and Grubs drew, they claimed 70,000 people, where was the security?
Right.
How was that handled? What were the fees? Where's the cost sheet? What was the cost of the tax rate? How come no one's asking any questions about that?
Well, we'll have to find out
how come
more.
The media is not, well, how come the media is not following up on any of this?
Yeah.
You know? We've got one channel that's after us on a regular basis. They do one negative story after another about Roar and Shore. Why? What did Roar and Shore do to cause that kind of backlash from certain groups out there and certain people? What did we do that's an issue? And no one can answer that question either. And I'm not being defensive here. I'm being frustrated because, you know, we're trying to raise money for a charity, and we should be applauded for it. My folks should be rewarded for the incredible hard work they did for a number of months leading up to this, and then 5, 6, 7 days in the hottest weather I've ever experienced in Erie, all to make it a good event for people to come to. And they did. And those who did enjoyed it. But there are always those trolls on the Facebook. They're always trolling this and doing this. If this is bad, that's bad. You know, and here's another thing. Wasn't it 90 degrees in the city of Erie too?
Sure was.
Wasn't the sun out in the city of Erie? Didn't people walk? I saw pictures of people walking around downtown out in the sun. So apparently the sun's okay in Erie, Pennsylvania, but it's not okay at Roar and Shore. Because that was a big factor. You can't get any shade. You see what I'm saying? It's no good over there. It's no, you know, there's a parking lot event on 12th Street that goes on. There is no shade. None. Zero. Zip. Right. Zilch. The same thing as ours. Tents. That's it. Where was the problem there? No problem? So you see, It's always about the attack on Roar. And my question is, why? What's the attack for? What did Roar do that's caused? Here's what we've done. Here's the other thing. We've raised $1 million for charity. Can you close your eyes, think. Name one other group in town that has raised $1 million for charity in 4 days each year, like we do.
Yeah. Pretty incredible.
Yeah. You can't, because it doesn't exist. What other group generates $35 million in economic activity in 4 days? No other group. And what other group draws more tourists for 4 days? 4 days, mind you. I'm not up against the peninsula, because nobody can beat God. The peninsula is incredible.
Right.
The peninsula is incredible. But for 4 days, four-day event, look what we draw. And I'm talking about consistently annually, because you got the Great Chips, which is a phenomenal event.
Sure.
Fantastic
sure.
event. Celebrate Erie doesn't draw anybody from out of town. Celebrate Erie is a local event.
Right.
I'm talking about an event that draws national attention, is in national newspapers, national magazines, national coverage, that brought the United States and Canada to Erie, Pennsylvania. And they want $70,000 this year and $140,000. That's stepping over a dollar to pick up a dime.
Right.
And that is just foolish. It's pure foolish.
It doesn't make sense that why there would be any kind of negative narrative about the event, considering how it's grown. Here's a situation where it started small, it has become huge. Why would we mess with that? From the layperson's point, it doesn't make sense to me.
Doesn't make sense.
I'm going to give you the last word here. Got about 1 minute to go. I mean,
go ahead. Here's another fact for you. I have been approached by three different cities to operate a bike event in their cities, to duplicate what we've done here at Roanoke Shore and do it for their cities. They want to do it. They want it to come there. They want a partnership. Now, why is that?
Yeah.
And that is the truth. They want this. They want the same thing for their city. Why? Because they understand the value, the economic impact, the tourist impact, and the benefit to $1 million contribution over time to charities. Those charities, you talk to them, go to SafeNet and look at that backyard project.
Right.
Go to St. Martin Center and take a look at the playground we built. And on and on and on. There are many agencies in this community that have benefited greatly from Roaring Ashore. And I'll be damned if we're going to stand here and apologize to anyone for anything we've ever done. This program is remarkable, and the city of Erie rejected it. And that's what this comes down to. And until that changes, there's really nothing to talk about, is there? What do I do? Agree to pay the $140,000, and then we're working for just that? That's
right.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
Ralph Buntillo, the executive director of Roaring the Shore. Again, congratulations to you and your team for another week of amazing impact. I know friends around here, they love the Saturday night Striper concert, and seemed to be the big one. And of course, all week long, folks were making their way out there. Ralph, I really appreciate, again, your generosity and time and your candor.
Hey, listen, and thank everybody out there. 99% of the response has been positive. I'm just dealing with the negatives here, but I want you to know there were people that loved every minute of this thing, and they made that very clear, and they're coming back next year. That's what keeps us moving.
Thanks so much. Ralph Buntillo.